George Pett about the fact that Johnny was with the twos, and he said it's part of a schedule that you've already mapped out. Can you explain a little more your schedule and who plays with what team?
It's different every day. It would take me way too long to explain to you the whole process of all OTAs and minicamp, but I mean, I think today Johnny had reps with the ones, he had reps with the twos, he also had reps with the threes. Hoyer's not always in there. You know, he's coming from off a knee injury, so he's not clear to do everything. So sometimes when he's in there, he's gone with the ones, Hoyer's gone in there, and he's gotten reps with the twos also. So we're mixing everybody around. There's not a ton of difference between the one and twos right now with some injuries and guys rotating. I think the main difference is really the O-line. But, you know, I have a hard time telling who the ones and twos are out there. There's a difference with the threes, but it's so scattered around, and we've mapped it out over the course of this whole off season. But I really don't even know coming out exactly who has what, but we have that down on paper. I'm sure you guys will figure it out as it goes.
Could you assess the practices, I think, including the rookie camp, where you feel Johnny is right now?
Not really, because I really don't even try to assess it right now. It's early, and you're throwing a ton at them. And right when they think it's getting easy, and once they show up tomorrow morning, we're going to throw a whole bunch of new stuff at them. So we're going to have to wipe out today and move on to a next day. It's right now, OTAs to me is just about getting your feet wet, trying to learn the offense, get your reps. You're going to have bad reps, which I think are good reps because you learn from bad reps. And putting them through as many situations, throwing as much at them, and then we get away from here a little bit through June and July, and then we come back in training camp and we see what sticks. And then, to me, that's a little bit more when the true competition starts. It's a little fairer. They got a better idea of what's going on. They're a little more comfortable of not only just calling the play and getting out of the huddle, but actually looking in the right direction on where those people are. Right now, I think their heads are spinning a little bit, as all rookies are, and as a lot of guys on our team are, because we are a new staff and it's our first year together. But vets always have a little bit more experience doing that than rookies.
Kyle, what's the importance of mobility for a quarterback in your offense? And I'm sure this is probably a coincidence, but you don't have the tallest group of quarterbacks in the league. They all seem to be fairly mobile. Can you address that?
There's really no absolute, in my opinion, to any position. I mean, you want guys who are good football players, and people have proved it in every way possible. You'd like to say most great quarterbacks have all been 6'4", but there's been some pretty good quarterbacks, one who just won a Super Bowl who's not that. Drew Brees is pretty good also. So there's no absolutes in football. You want fast, tall receivers, but there's a bunch of small ones who are real good too. So you try to look at each person for who they are as a player, and we don't have the tallest guys, and we got some guys who are mobile. We ask our quarterbacks to move, but you know the best year that I had personally calling plays in our bootleg game was with Matt Schaub, and he's not a very mobile quarterback. So, and sometimes when I've had some more mobile guys, defenses play it a little bit more, and they're scared of it, so it's not there as much. So you do have to have a certain ability. You have to be able to move better than most of us, but you don't necessarily have to run a 4-4 to be successful moving in the pocket.
What are your feelings on that?
Oh, it doesn't bother me at all. I think personally, if this was 6 years ago and there wasn't so much Twitter and pictures, people don't notice that stuff. And a lot of probably straight arrow good quarterbacks would do that you guys didn't know about. It doesn't bother me. Johnny's been working as hard as anyone I've been around. He's been here all day and all night. And I've been really impressed with what Johnny's done. And good for him to get a little bit of break. Now, he's got to realize that there's going to come stuff to deal with it, with the situation he's in, and some people are going to judge him for it. But I care what you do on the field. As long as you're a good person outside of here and you come in here and you go to work every day like the rest of us do, and I got a lot of respect for Johnny in that aspect.
So you've been through this with Robert years ago, rookie quarterback. What's similar, what's different, what helps you with this right now?
Really just used to the hype of it. That's pretty much what I learned going through that with Robert, that everything you say, I got to be careful not to talk too much up here because I might say three words wrong. That's going to be a headline somewhere. So I've learned that it really doesn't matter what you're trying to say. It's be careful. Someone's going to get you, and they're going to make a big deal about it. So it goes with the territory, and you got to be strong through that because not all you guys, but some of you guys are going to try to drive risks between people and say things. And you just got to be smart with your words and understand the situation.
Would you say it's the same?
Yeah, I think they're very similar. You know, Robert was a very hard worker, and Johnny's been the same way. He's come in, you know, he's committed to working, committed to learning what we're asking of him. He's been trying to focus on a lot of things, which is tough, you know, whereas from a technique standpoint to just learning the verbiage of the offense, to where to look, the rhythm of plays, some of the checks that we ask him to do. And it's way too much to throw at anybody for them to come out and do it. You're going to throw so much at them, and it's really how do they handle it, because they are going to get overwhelmed. And you just hope each day they show progress and they get away for a little bit and relax, and you hope when they come back in training camp it's a little bit easier for them.
Does Manziel's release point present special challenges to you in running some plays? There's nobody around him, it's not a problem, but it can't.
Yeah, I rarely think that quarterbacks don't throw over people very much, usually throw through windows. And there's a lot of extremely tall quarterbacks who get balls tipped all the time. I think what's good about Johnny is he can change his release point. He can throw it sidearm if he needs to. He can throw it over the top if he needs to. I think that's very similar to how Rich Gannon was. And when you have an arm angle that changes, that's what you need, because you want to throw around people. You want to throw through windows. You don't want to have to do jump passes to throw over people. And I don't care if you're 6'4". These D linemen are usually 6'6", and their arms reach up to 7-something. So very rarely are you throwing over somebody.
I got time for one last question.
Is it too early for Brian Hoyer to lose ground because you're holding him out of 11-on-11? Or can he be losing ground right now?
No, I don't think it's necessarily about losing ground. I mean, we're throwing a lot at all of our positions, and I haven't really gotten, we evaluate everything, but there's nothing that I'm not day to day on who's better, who's not. It's a long process, and we got a lot of practices to go through. We'll evaluate it hard on the tape at the end of us, and that'll help us set a little more of a plan for training camp and what we need to see to put situations we got to see these guys in for us to know who the best player is to go with.